The drive to go further and reach higher. The same thing that inspires you inspires us. At Strayer University, we're always searching for new ways to make education more affordable. That's why we offer access to up to 10 no-cost gen ed courses to help you save time and money so you can keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. No-cost gen eds provided by Strayer University affiliates of Fuel Learning. Eligibility rules apply. Connect with us for details. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by Chef.
You got a team, here's a word of the wise. You want to dominate your league? Go to Football Guys.
Football, I'm living in a fantasy. Football, got everybody mad at me. Football, because every game I had to win. Football, I got to be a champion.
Maybe a hot take, but hot takes are dumb. Running backs make the world go round. Sigmund Bloom, Cecil Amy on the audible. And Sig, I knew Bijan Robinson was going eight. I knew he was. People said, you should have made some money off that. I'm like, I don't want to use inside information to do that type of stuff. But yeah, in my mock, I had Bijan Robinson. It's not hard to put together why. I knew that was going to happen. But let's talk best fits.
Yeah.
Kids say the fit. Well, the fit for Bijan's pretty damn good. We actually discussed it last week. When I knew, right. But I didn't say that I knew. I just like, hey, wouldn't it be nice to have Kyle Pitts, Drake London, and Bijan Robinson together, everybody?
Yeah, this is a great spot. This is a terrific spot for him to land because it's a team that's committed to the run, because it's an offensive line that is gelling, an offensive line that was getting better blocking for the running game. And we saw what Tyler Algier did late last season. That said more about this running game coming into focus than it did about Algier. You have a player with that kind of draft capital also, if we're talking about fantasy translation of the quality of this spot, it's going to get, don't even put a bet in on offensive rookie of the year unless it's on Robinson. I would love to live in a world where Anthony Richardson is a revelation, where Bryce Young really turns around the Panthers right away, gets them to the playoffs as a rookie. It's possible, but Bijan Robinson, pencil him in for 320 touches, maybe 350 touches, good quality touches, as he hasn't been worn down by the NFL yet. And this Atlanta team is doing the Matt Walden plan. They're building around the quarterback spot. Let's see. Yes, indeed. Desmond Ridder is going to get his chance. And it should definitely be entertaining, especially if you like old school football like Arthur Smith.
Yeah, and I get Barkley rookie vibes with Bijan in Atlanta. I don't know if you feel the same way, but and I'm not saying 91 catches, but 51 catches, 51
sure.
catches. Like, yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. He was going in the first round of best ball drafts before the draft. And that should be even firmer, if not higher, because of the every down back profile, because of the quality of the surroundings, because this is going to be a run first offense. We know this team can be competitive, especially in their division. So it's not like he's going to be relegated to no huddle catch up drives. I think this team is definitely in the running to win 9 or 10 games because of the competition. You can see Bijan Robinson closing those games out. And it's hard for me to think, Cease, off the top of my head, Christian McCaffrey, Austin Eckler. Of course, you know, if I was looking at Jonathan Taylor versus Bijan Robinson, I'm probably going to go with Bijan Robinson at this point. So I think we can see this is a good spot, not just because of the top 10 draft capital, but because of his surroundings.
The dirty secret in the NFL, it's all about fit. And Bijan Robinson has a hell of a fit. I'll say quickly on Desmond Ridder, and you can chime in as well, Bloom. This is the best thing for him.
Yeah.
I'm not a Ridder fan. He crumbles under pressure. Now, his physical tools are easy to see. We had a question last week in our comment section. And like, comment, share, subscribe, hit the notification bell so that you never miss a vid. And it's a legitimate question. Like, why does Cecil hate Desmond Ridder? I don't necessarily hate him. I just think his physical tools, which anyone can see. Like, the dude is a modern quarterback. He's very athletic. He is a leader. He's got an arm. You know what I mean? Like, but under duress, under pressure, is when his game completely falls apart. You could merely just watch the Alabama game when he played with the Bearcats. However, and as my man Reggie McDaniel always used to say, there's always a however in life, Bloom. However, if you're running the ball, you're putting him under less duress. It's similar to the Broncos show that we always talk about, you know, Russell Wilson. They got to run the ball. We'll get to that a little bit. Some news on Jerry Jeudy. We'll talk about that after we talk running backs. But, yeah, this is actually the best thing possible. If you're Desmond Ridder or a Desmond Ridder fan, you should be very happy with this pick.
And it can alter the arc of his career. We can go back to Dak Prescott, right? Yep. So you can remember early on in Dak Prescott's career, well, look at all the structure he had around him. This team
Big
was
Ben.
So good
look at
the
beginning
ball.
Of Big Ben's career. Oh,
Ben,
they do is
exactly.
Run. Yeah, okay. And then he got it.
You create that confidence. You create confidence around in teammates. And yeah, Desmond Ridder might have some weaknesses in his game, but there are plenty of quarterbacks who have weaknesses. Peyton Manning, if you got him moved off of his spot, he became one of the worst quarterbacks in the league. So it's about setting up an offense around a player that accentuates their strengths. And I think that Atlanta has done that. So I think, Cease, we may look back at this as you see quarterback desperation and you see teams forcing that moment. I think we may see Atlanta giving teams another template. And what it requires, of course, is patience. I think we have to make a nod to Arthur Blank here, because it's clear that Arthur Smith and Terry Fontenot have the message that they have 3, 4, 5 years to build what they're doing. And certainly it helps when you don't take the quarterback, because I think when you take the quarterback, that starts the clock. So maybe it's shrewd on their part, but you can't argue with the results. And I think you can't argue with this pick.
It's smart. It's incredibly smart. It is the audible. We're going through the best fits at running back in the 2023 NFL draft. We'll also throw in some news and notes, the aforementioned Jerry Jeudy. And our next one already has news and notes attached to it, because in Bloom, I must reflect as an old man sitting on his back porch on a mountain in Colorado. I love the fact that I've known now head coaches since they were teenagers. I've known general managers since they were road scouts, since like Mike Shoddy was introducing them to me, right? Back in the day. Mm-hmm. Shout out Mike Shoddy. Anyway, like, I knew Detroit was going to take Jahmyr Gibbs. Now, I had it at 18. They felt so compelled to take him earlier than that. So let's talk about the Gibbs things. Obviously, we have to talk about what happened with DeAndre Swift. I love Howie Roseman. That's a different show. But let's talk about Gibbs and, well, the fit they see in Detroit.
Yeah, if we're not talking about Anthony Richardson, if we're just talking about running backs and wide receivers, the gap from Robinson to Gibbs in terms of dynasty value is smaller than the gap from Gibbs to whoever's next, Smith and Jigba, whoever you want to put next. Yeah. And it's not just because of the draft capital, but the draft capital is important, not necessarily because draft capital increases the value of a player. And I think draft capital is a tricky variable to add in your models, because it represents the valuation of the player from the most optimistic team, or the team that's highest on him. We don't get the opportunity to poll the 32 teams and say, where would you take, how far would this player have to fall for you to take him? Then we'd average that, and then we have a truer sense of draft capital. But what it tells me, Cease, they got a plan for Gibbs. Yeah, they have a plan for this guy. And Emory Hunt, pride of Eleanor McMain down here in New Orleans, he said, on that turf.
Emory's one of the best in the business.
Think about that. Teams know what their home stadium, what their schemes, what their personnel accentuates in terms of value. So it sounds like, and I get it, and look, Cease, we could do a whole tangent. I'm going to defend the Lions draft. Yes, if anybody out there is trying to book somebody, you want to do like a Skip Bayless Shannon kind of thing where someone has to defend the Lions draft, call me. I'll defend the Lions draft here. Now, it sounds like they were even willing to take him over Robinson at number six.
They were.
Why?
If Robinson was
Why would
on
they
the board,
do that?
Gibbs was their pick, period.
And it's because of the speed, and it's because of the versatility. As Dane Brugler pointed out on the couch a few weeks ago, Gibbs was Bryce Young's number one receiver. Now, that should tell you what Bryce Young did for that offense. All right. That's not to take anything away from Gibbs. He's a running back. Is he a running back, though? He's a weapon. See, we've been talking about positionless football for a while on this show.
Yeah.
And I think that with the Lions, why this is such a great landing spot, even before DeAndre Swift got traded for fantasy, is that they have a plan. This is a tremendous, efficient, creative offense. And by the way, they took Sam Laporta in the second round. So now you start to understand. And we can go back to Desmond Ridder. You're downplaying the importance of Jared Goff. You're saying Goff, and they have a good offensive line. Remember, they've been building the offensive line. So just get the ball to the right spot. Well, there's a lot of right spots when defenses have to match up with Jameson Williams, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Sam Laporta, and Jahmyr Gibbs. and they have to defend a running game that is diverse. A running game. Deuce Daly's down in Carolina now to help Miles Sanders, among others. But they had a running game that is diverse, a running game that would show you a lot of different schemes, a lot of different looks, sometimes on consecutive plays. So as a defender, you cannot get comfortable against this Detroit defense. You cannot get into a mindset where you feel like you know what's coming. So now you can stretch defenses horizontally with Gibbs' speed. You can stretch them vertically with Jamison Williams. You can create mismatches all over the field. Jared Goff just needs to get the ball out on time to the right player. So this is an efficient offense. It's a fast track. And look, if we're just going to talk strictly fantasy output, Cease, it's a bad defense. Now, could become a better defense, Jack Campbell and others on board. But you have to love this. And can Gibbs outproduce Robinson? Absolutely. Can Gibbs and Robinson both be top five fantasy running backs? Absolutely. Gibbs is not going to get Austin Eckler's goal line opportunities. That's what put Eckler over the top last year. But what Gibbs has that Eckler doesn't is the ability to break a touchdown from anywhere on the field.
Yep. You mentioned Jack Campbell. He's a football playing Jesse. It is the audible here. And we're talking best running back fits. Bloom, I've got mine. I've got five. And if you want any more to throw in at the end of the show when we do a little, we get a little newsy on the show, that's fine. Also, just a programming note, we will have your annual tradition on the Audible of the eight divisional recaps where we go through Never Eat Sour Wheat. We're going to go through all the divisions. We're going to have eight shows for you. Those will be audio only. So you're watching the YouTube channel. You love us. You like us. Smash that like button, as the YouTubers say. I guess we're YouTubers too. I guess
we were. We have been for a long time.
I know.
We were Google Plusers. Do the kids even know about Google Plus?
Google is that Hangouts, one just
like the ruins, the relics, the memories?
Yeah, they're still up there. They're still on the channel or on my channel, I think. Anyway, but like we're going to have eight episodes for you, a full draft recap, including undrafted free agents, which we do every single year on the Audible. Those will be audio only. So you're watching the show, you love the show, smash that like button. But remember, the Audible is audible. So listen to the audio only version. That will include the extra content for you. Lots of extra content coming up for you here on the Audible. I'll say this. I got a lot to say about Seattle, not because of the Kraken, Bloom. And that concludes your hockey talk for today.
Yeah. Defending champs no longer.
We could get in the Natushkin stuff, I'll tell you off air, but that's
hockey gossip.
That's not a situation you want to be in. Anyway, let's talk about Zach Charbonnet, right? Like, if you talk hard charging, receiving back, some speed to his game, well-rounded game, like, Seattle's done it. And they didn't have to do it by overdrafting Rashad Penny. They did it with Charbonnet. So I'm excited about that fit. How soon he gets to be in that fit, Bloom, we'll talk about it right here, right now.
Yeah, it sounds like there's going to be a competition. And fit, if the criteria is fit, this is outstanding. Now, if the criteria is landing spot, creating fantasy value, it's disappointing. But that's okay, because Seattle, we should not really doubt at this point. The plan that they have, what they did in this draft and with the way they've situated themselves, they're coming for you, San Fran. And the Seattle-San Francisco rivalry is back on. And you know, we could talk about Devon Witherspoon and Tariq Woolen together and the quandary that...
And Witherspoon's better than Woolen. And I love Woolen.
Right, right. And they're similar in that they can smother your outside receivers. We can talk about Jackson Smith and Jigba. You know who knows how to make hay out of three wide sets? Shane Waldron. Yeah.
Wow.
Shane Waldron can do that. Geno Smith, a big winner. Charbonnet is in an outstanding spot for his skills. And he's probably a better three down back than Walker. So this could be more consequential for a loss of value for Walker. And what's bad for fantasy, what creates more of an unpredictable week-to-week distribution of touches and fantasy output, is good for Seattle. Because the other thing is, you have these hard-charging backs, and what it creates is you don't lose that edge of your offense if Walker misses time. What we hate for fantasy makes sense in the NFL. Charbonnet is a terrific fit. And the other thing you have here, Cease, of course, is if only Dallas would have figured this out 2 years ago when Tony Pollard was earlier on his rookie deal. Two fresh running backs. And we talk about this with pass rushers. You understand the quality that is increased, even if there's a player you want to have out on the field for every down. But if they're only out on the field for 70% of the snaps, you get a higher quality out of that player. Now apply that to running back. So I think Seattle, what they're doing is outstanding. And you can talk about investment in running back and whether it's worth it. When you're Seattle, it's always worth it because it's the point of the spear of their offense.
Yeah, and I know there's so many wild and varying opinions on running back, Bloom. I'm going to sound like an aloha when I say it, but that's fine. I don't pay attention to that. I think football is the pendulum is swinging back. You're going to see more teams try to emphasize the run. One, it's because defenders are smaller and lighter and not capable of taking the punishment that you can deal out with running back. Two, there's not that many great quarterbacks. And I'm not talking about Geno, but if you don't have a great quarterback, you're going to cover it up. Russell Wilson, you got to cover up Russell Wilson by running the ball. You can't. Somebody on Twitter yesterday, the most important thing ever, was like, Sean Payton was top five passing every year in New Orleans. He can't be top five passing with Russ. And I'm like, yeah, he can. It's Russell Wilson. Broken Russell Wilson. You got to run the damn ball.
Yeah, I think so. And that's the other thing is we're looking at team philosophies. We're looking at the potential for picks signaling a change. Now, this Zach Charbonnet pick doesn't necessarily signal a change for Seattle, but when you combine it with Smith and Jigba, and again, the possibility of more three wide sets, more dangerous three wide sets, when you add in Tyler Lockett, who still has some good football left in him, and DK Metcalf, and again, Geno Smith, get the ball out, get it out on time. You're de-emphasizing all those gaudy qualities of quarterbacks playing outside of structure and being able to scramble away from the defense and make throws when a guy's hanging off of you. Well, if you have a strong running game and you put a defense on their heels and you wear a defense down as the game goes on, you don't need the quarterback to pull a rabbit out of the hat. So I do think that you are seeing that, like you said, Cease, that pendulum. But at the same time, we could see the pendulum swinging the other direction for a team, say like Baltimore. So we're always understanding that in fantasy football, some of the most important moves we can make are getting a step ahead of a changing offense. I think it was important for Detroit last year. I think it's important for Baltimore this year. For Seattle, the change isn't necessarily the philosophy, although we could see more three wide receiver sets that produce big plays. It is just a more dangerous and efficient offense, especially with Geno Smith in year two with this offense.
I think Tyjae Spears is the new Alvin Kamara, and now he's in Tennessee, Bloom. So fit. Maybe this is the wrong word for him. I just love him so much. I wanted to talk about him. Most importantly, I wanted to pick your brain about what's this mean for Derrick Henry?
Yeah, and I shouldn't say year two in Seattle, by the way. He's been there for a while. Year two is the starter.
Right.
Spears is a bit of a riddle because right, exactly. Well, and what's difficult here is the player, and we're evaluating the value of the player in a vacuum. You hear these things, cartilage loss, no ACL, and one of his legs behind toward didn't have an ACL, and a running back. However, you also have Tennessee taking him with a third round pick. So that tells me that Tennessee, what's the really bleak outlook, Cease? He's not even going to make it to the end of his rookie deal. Well, you don't take a player in the third round if that is the case, unless maybe it's Marcus Lattimore. It was a fourth round pick. San Fran took him in the fourth, right? I think it was.
I believe so.
So it could be one of those situations, but we know that Matt Waldman loves him. You have that curvilinear movement. You have the explosion. Matt Waldman throwing out the Jamal Charles comparison, which I know he's not doing casually. Now, on the other hand, it does not look good in Tennessee. It does not look like nothing is going to grow there. Okay, you look at the offensive line, which they didn't get to really address in the draft, right? Skronsky. Okay, that's going to be.
Were they reading the wrong mock drafts? Because you guys were on live. Fantastic show as always. Tremendous. Yeah. I mean, Houston owned it. They freaking owned it. And Tennessee, going into this, knowing some behind-the-scenes stuff I'll share with you off air, like, they're just sitting on their hands. Like, we're going to get Stroud. We don't have to move. Like, what?
Yeah.
Were you reading the wrong? Were they listening to agents? Like, what the hell was their plan?
Yeah, I think that in this case, we could get into a whole chapter here on Houston and how they affected this draft with their clarity. And I think that Houston probably had Anderson as number two on their board. But you have to play the draft, and you know that even as much as Houston was willing to give up to get to number three in Arizona's pick, maybe Tennessee would have given more. Would you rather have Houston's first round pick or Tennessee's first round pick next year? I'm not sure. So that's the problem when we get back to Spears. And as far as fit, it's hard for me to say what he fits in this offense, Cease, because what is this offense without Derrick Henry? What, Treylon Burks? Chigi Okonkwo? We love him. But again, a poor offensive line, a poor wide receiver group. I'm not going to be telling anybody to take Derrick Henry in fantasy drafts this year. I think there's only so much that he can overcome. I really like Spears as a player. I do think, and see, this is a moment for me to point out that in terms of fantasy value, when we see landing spots divided by draft capital, we're looking at quality of the spot, which is where Seattle comes in, right? It's where Detroit comes in. Mm-hmm. And we're looking at opportunity. Tennessee is going to be really big on the opportunity side next year. Next year, Spears. Next year, Spears can be a primary weapon in this offense. In fact, this year he should be. This year, he, on a team that doesn't have much to strike fear in the heart of defenses, and if the story is that his knee issues will shorten his career, well, then let's get busy. There's no reason to give him a redshirt year. There's no reason to ease him in. So hopefully they'll be creative. But I do think Tennessee looks pretty bleak. I think this is a team headed for top five picks probably in consecutive years. And I don't think Will Levis is the answer to get them out of that.
Let's discuss the Cincinnati situation, because I think Joe Mixon's staying. I think Joe Mixon's taking a pay cut, and our newswire is open. Our newsletter is now available again after the draft. Footballguys.com, free daily newsletter, commentary written by myself, Sigmund Bloom, Joe Bryant. I wrote about Joe Mixon yesterday for our newswire, and you got to throw in Chase Brown into this conversation.
Yeah.
The Bengals picking him up, like, and again, like the Mixon thing, it's so unsteady right now. So maybe Brown is like Spears, where it's like, hey, next year, but maybe Bloom, it's this year with Chase Brown and that fit with Cincinnati.
Well, we saw last year that at times the team correctly preferred Samaje Perine.
Yes.
And I think Denver is going to prefer Samaje Perine at the beginning of the year, at least. Matt Waldman wore a motorboat shirt for you on draft night, by the way, Cease. Always in our hearts, always close to us, Cecil Amy. Samaje Perine, if there ever was a motorboat back, it was Samaje Perine. Chase Brown is not a power back quite on that level, but certainly he can beat out Chris Evans and Travion Williams for opportunity. And Joe Mixon is a player. Well, Cease, we might see Joe Mixon kind of like Ezekiel Elliott last year. You know he's going to be good at getting the tough yards. You know he's going to be good at pass protection, although, hey, actually, Samaje Perine was probably better last year. Right. But you know you're going to have those veteran, predictable outcomes on plays where the running back just needs to do his job. Now, if you want burst, if you want fresh legs, because Joe Mixon was not an efficient running back last year, Chase Brown probably will be. So I think this is one Cease. And then we don't associate the Bengals with running efficiency. Okay, so this isn't necessarily a quality of destination. However, touchdown opportunities, certainly the efficiency and productivity of this offense is good. It's not necessarily one of the best running games in the league. I do think you could see Brown in a committee with Mixon, and I think that this is just something to watch. I do think that, as you said, Cease, it's probably 90% or more Mixon stays with the team with a pay cut. I'm probably looking at the same thing in Minnesota, by the way, in case you're wondering, as the draft came and went. And speaking of Minnesota, we may end up talking about a fit for a running back. The place that Dalvin Cook was maybe going to go, but there's no need for him there now.
Yeah, no need whatsoever. We've got full draft coverage and draft recaps coming up. The audio version of the Audible. We're here for you on YouTube. Make sure to support our channel. Smash that like button. Watch the video to the end. Now we do some newsy stuff as we've gone through five fits at running back in the 2023 NFL Draft. Cecil Lammy, Sigmund Bloom, and Jordan Love just got extended today, Bloom. That just hit our news wire moments ago. So let's discuss as the Packers, they're moving forward, and now they're committing to their guy.
And just real quick before we turn the page, I got to talk out Devin Achane. In Miami.
Okay.
Got to mention him.
Well, speed.
Just because he's the home run hitter. Yeah, he's the home run hitter. And I think that means Dalvin Cook isn't going to Miami. And I think that you have a terrific fit in this offense. I think you have a terrific fit. I'll give a shout out to the pit back, Izzy Abaniconda. The fit is great in the running game. Now, is he going to be better than Breece Hall? No. But does he offer in a Kyle Shanahan style, running game, what you're looking for as a runner? Absolutely. I thought that Jordan Love and the Packers came to a nice, reasonable compromise, right, Cease? It was $20.2 million. Well, we don't want to guarantee you $20.2 million up front, but at the same time, even an adequate backup is what, $6, $7, $8
million right
on the open market?
Right.
So how about let's split the difference between, say, $6 million and $20 million, guaranteed, $13.5 million. However, with incentives, you could earn up to 22.5. So Jordan Love, in some ways, betting on himself so that if he hits those incentives, he'll out-earn what he would have under the fifth-year option. The Packers don't commit quite as much, but they commit enough to show Love, hey, we believe in you, and we're willing to give you $13.5 million up front so that we're both happy if you're good this year. And it makes you wonder whether Daniel Jones and the Giants, did they even explore anything like this? It was a new regime, and there was not a relationship. You know, that regime didn't take Daniel Jones, so there might not have been that willingness. But, Cease, you wonder whether this could be paving the way. And I don't think this is the first time this happened, but it's not something that happens that frequently, where with the fully guaranteed fifth-year option, it gives teams kind of a binary yes or no choice. But sometimes it isn't that simple. Could the Josh Jacobs and the Raiders have worked something out like this? Again, a new regime, maybe they really want to see the player prove it. Well, the Packers have a better idea what they have in him than, say, the new Giants regime had in Daniel Jones. But I think it's an excellent move for everybody involved. And if Jordan Love is that guy and he starts that path to be the next franchise quarterback for the Packers, he only has to wait another year to get a franchise tag. Would be year six. He only has to wait another year maybe to get a long-term contract. So he's not locked in. At one point, I thought we might see more of the Dalton Kaepernick style contract where it's almost a team option every year. And if you keep hitting the mark, you're going to keep earning that level.
Yeah.
I think Love's camp did a good job right here, getting him some security, but giving him the opportunity to earn a lot more if he plays up to that level.
Yeah. The Dalton Kaepernick contracts were fine. And we just don't see him. Like, the Kirk Cousins thing kind of broke everybody. But, like, no, those were fine contracts. So, whatever. We'll figure it out as we get there. Moving along, going through some – of course, Billy Turner signed with the Jets. We're not going to break down Billy Turner. He is Hackett's best friend, which is interesting. I got lots of Hackett tea. But anyway, Jerry Jeudy's option was exercised. What's interesting to me – and, again, full draft recap on the audio version. We'll probably start pumping those out next week. We'll get them recorded this week. But anyway – the Marvin Mims pick, fantastic for Denver. He might be their best wide receiver right now. 20 yards a catch, 19.5. Round up, everybody. But Jerry Jeudy's option exercised when they're not going to designate him backside X. This is the thing Sean Payton said a month ago. I think it was at the owners' meetings, Bloom. It's like, we're not going to designate anybody as the number one receiver. We're going to rotate our guys, move our guys around the formation. That's great, but Sean Payton's going to notice, I don't know, that fast. That when Jerry Jeudy's not the one, he doesn't care. He dials out. He checks out. If he's the number one, hey, Jerry, you're getting the ball. He's like super dialed in. So it's weird that, again, I'm slightly surprised they did this.
Yeah.
I'm actually slightly surprised they didn't trade one of their wide receivers during the draft. We'll see if Albert O still goes to Miami. There are rumblings there, to be sure. But like, it's just, okay, you picked up Jerry Jeudy's option and you're not going to use him the best way?
Right, right. This one is strange. I agree that it was surprising because there has not been a year yet, Cease, true or false, Has Jerry Jeudy been worth $13 million in any of his first three seasons?
No.
I mean, has he even been worth $10 million in any of his first three seasons, right? So you're paying, and look, the NFL does this, and that's okay. You're paying for future production. You're paying for expected production. You're not paying for what a player did. You're paying for what you think they're going to do. Now, this is more akin to the Raiders and Jacobs or Jones and the Giants in so much as this is not the regime that chose Jerry Jeudy, right? George Payton didn't take Jerry Jeudy. And Sean Payton certainly didn't take Jerry Jeudy. I'm not even sure where Jerry Jeudy fits in this offense, as you're saying, not just in terms of his role in the passing game, but, and it's fun, like you said, Twitter, the most important thing. It is fun sometimes when people get in your mentions when you say something like the Broncos are going to be a run first team and their moves this offseason have been to reconfigure the offense as a run first offense. And people, well, where's your evidence? What? Huh? They just took a wide receiver in the second round. Well, yeah, but blocking is going to be emphasized from these receivers. And I don't know if this is an aspirational ploy to motivate Tatum Bell, to motivate Jerry Jeudy to earn that. I don't know if they're just looking at the pay scale of wide receivers and saying, hey, $13 million for 1 year of a wide receiver is actually a decent wager on that. You're not really... And what can you get in the open market if Odell Beckham, who may or may not still be able to play at a previous level, is getting $15 million? So it is a bit quizzical. It's hard for me, Cease, to see how Jerry Jeudy can earn this option if Tim Patrick and Courtland Sutton stay healthy.
Right. Yeah. And it's interesting. It's interesting to be sure. Interesting now that DeAndre Hopkins on Instagram, the second most important thing ever, said he's going to stay. I guess he's staying. They're going to stay. I don't know.
Well, what one of the things that was really striking about this year's draft, other than Adam Trautman, again, running game, other than Adam Trautman and DeAndre Swift, there weren't player trades.
Right.
Really strange. Very different than years past. And Cease, I can only conclude that one of the issues with DeAndre Hopkins is his pay, and he's not that expensive. I think he's under $20 million, but you're still getting the autumn of his career. You're not getting the part of his career where he's peaking as a player, where he's necessarily going to take over games. He's more of a possession receiver. I think going into the draft, teams pretty much have their roster and their approach to the following season set. Yeah, your first round picks, maybe your second round picks you expect to contribute, maybe even start. But the draft doesn't really change your plan for the upcoming year that greatly. So maybe teams, by the time we got to the draft this year, they said, no, we don't need a running back. We don't need a DeAndre Hopkins. We don't need to make a splashy move for, say, a Chase Young, who did not have his fifth-year option picked up. So DeAndre Hopkins is going to remain a Cardinal. Cease, is Clayton Tune going to start week one for Arizona? I mean, is he going to actually be one of the stories of week one?
Right.
Because they don't have a healthy quarterback right now. This is a team that may be picking first and second next year, and there'll be some cheap PPR points for DeAndre Hopkins, but some of the other possibilities, Buffalo, Kansas City, Baltimore, where it was being bandied about where he could end up, those might have been more exciting, at least in terms of efficiency. This one will be okay in terms of volume, but this is not going to be a good pass offense. So for DeAndre Hopkins, it's kind of like a consolation prize to end up back in Arizona, where just a few years ago we thought, wow, they stole him. Well, nobody wanted to steal him away from the Cardinals. Yeah.
Steve Keim at a local bar near you. Anyway, sun's coming out, baby. Like, you got to get after Jazz Fest, you got to get to Colorado.
I mean, lots of sunshine.
Yeah. 300 days of sunshine and the snow goes away. Don't tell anybody. Final note, I guess, for me, Bloom, if there's anything that I missed on, just let me know. I want to talk about Latavius Murray to the Bills. I love it. I love Latavius. We love Latavius. The final Texas versus the Nation game, and I think he might be the last player left in the league because I don't. Where's Ryan Griffin at? Is he bumping around somewhere? But anyway, so like Latavius Murray with the Bills, perfect, exactly what they need. Because Josh Allen does not need to be running the ball on third and one and fourth and one. Josh Allen can take off and run when he needs to. But those short yardage situations, baby, I want Damian Harris. I want Latavius Murray. I don't want Josh Allen getting beat up.
No, it makes sense. And it's redundancy. Again, back to the Charbonnet pick. It's okay to have redundancy. You got Damian Harris, a bruiser between the tackles. And Damien Harris probably isn't going to play 17 games based on his track record. So you want to build in that redundancy. James Cook is not your bruiser. He's not your backup. And on one hand, you can see Davis Murray was out there on the street last year. So why not just wait? You'll be able to find somebody. But at the same time, when you know you have that clarity that someone else maybe is going to take that punishment, Josh Allen himself even admitting that. And this shouldn't change Josh Allen's fantasy outlook. In fact, it may make it better because Josh Allen was really starting to pull away from the pack as the number one fantasy quarterback before he got hurt. Now, you can say, is that exactly why he got hurt? Maybe not. But anytime you're trying to preserve your quarterback's health, it can keep his ability to stay at a top level further into the season. So, yeah, Latavius Murray showing, even though the NFL kind of kicked him to the curb last year, Denver saw pretty quickly that he offered about as much as any running back on their roster after Javonte Williams went down. And Buffalo beat some to the punch. I think we're going to see Jerick McKinnon get signed. See, so I think we're going to see, we're past that point in the NFL calendar whenever free agent pickups count against your compensatory picks. So teams making their fifth-year option decisions, and then teams are going to start filling in the rest of those spots that they need. They know how many roster spots they have now after the draft and signing their undrafted free agents. You're going to see a lot of veterans like Latavius Murray finding homes.
Always in motion is the future. Always talking or us. Season 11.
Yeah.
I just went third person on you, baby. That's what happens. Mm-hmm. Right? I get enough
coffee. Third person collective. Third person plural. We is us. Yes. We is them.
Yes.
We are them.
We are you.
Them are us.
They are us. We are everybody. I'm every woman. It's all in me.
Yeah.
All right. I'm getting punchy. I see it in the morning even. Like, why it's am I so
sun.
Punchy?
The petals of the Cecil Lammy flower are opening for everybody to see. Come and pollinate.
Yeah. I'll start taking my clothes off. He's Sigmund Bloom. You follow him on Twitter, at Sigmund Bloom. I am at Cecil Lammy. We appreciate everyone. Again, programming note, our 8-part draft recap series, likely to begin next week. I'll have some out on Monday for you. That's on an audio version of the Audible. Make sure to subscribe to that for all your podcast apps or whatever, however you listen now. It used to be iTunes, Bloom. Now it's that doesn't exist. So
I'm looking forward to when it's telepathy. Just tune your telepathy channel,
right,
and you will find out whatever we're doing at the time. We might be doing something boring, but we might be doing something interesting, like recording a show.
Right, right. I can't wait till the CBDC is here and you just have a chip implanted that says Audible. Give me the Audible. You can sit on your Barca lounger. But anyway, that's for another time. He's Sigmund Bloom. I'm Cecil Lammy. Until next time, be safe, be kind. Know that you are appreciated. Stay tuned. And as always, please, would you stay frosty?
It's a wrap.
And that was the Audible.
Smokers.
I mean, it's great working there and great doing what we're doing there and doing the things we do, and as long as we keep doing them, I mean.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.